The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned and said to them, "Know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. No one in Mark's gospel approaches Jesus as arrogantly as James and John in today's reading. But perhaps our criticism of these two disciples should be modified if we are to be honest with ourselves. How often do we, too, approach Jesus with self-centered demands about our own plans rather than with a deep faith in his plans for us? James and John, two of Jesus's earliest and closest disciples, could have hardly chosen a more tactless moment for their request. Perhaps they were dreaming so much about their future prominence that they were completely oblivious to his words about his imminent suffering and death. It is as though they have not heard one word of what Jesus has told them about the suffering and death that awaits him in Jerusalem. The two brothers are seeking to secure for themselves the top posts in the Messiah's future government. To sit at a ruler's right or left hand was a sign of power and prestige. Although Jesus had spoken earlier of his coming in his Father's glory with the holy angels, James and John probably still had only a foggy idea of what his glory meant. What they do know is that they want first rights to share in that glory before the others get in on it. Jesus does not criticize them for their boldness. Instead, he lays out what appears to be a condition. In the Old Testament, a cup is a metaphor for what God has in store for someone, whether a cup of blessing or the cup of his wrath. Jesus has the latter in mind, since drinking the cup symbolizes his accepting the full brunt of God's judgment on sin. He is asking whether disciples are willing to be united with him in his redemptive suffering. Yet the other meaning is also in the background, since through the Eucharistic cup of his blood, his passion becomes the source of salvation to all who receive it. In the ancient world, as in today's world, authority is naturally assumed to entail perks and benefits for those who wield it, and the powerful often enjoy throwing their weight around. But Jesus' command is stark: it shall not be so among you. His disciples are to display a radical and countercultural attitude toward leadership. There is no place for self-promotion, rivalry, or domineering conduct among them. Jesus does not deny that there will be offices of authority in the community he is establishing, the church. Nor does he reject the aspirations to greatness that lies deep in the human heart. Rather, he reveals that the only way to greatness, paradoxically, is by imitating him in his humble, self-emptying love. The whole mentality on which church leadership and discipleship is exercised must be that of service, acting entirely for the benefit of others, putting oneself at others' disposal, and caring for their most humblest of needs. Of those to whom much has been given, much will be required in return. The closer we are to Jesus, the more we will be expected to mirror him. James and John asked for places of honor, places reserved for those who exercise authority. Jesus did not deny that they would have such authority. He assured them that they would have places that were set apart. However, he described these places of distinction in a way the brothers had not expected. The great ones in the reign of God, the ones who exercise authority over others, must be servants of the rest: parents, teachers, civil authorities, managers of every kind, pastoral leaders, people of all walks of life. We all must be servants as Jesus was servant. This weekend, Bishop Berg will be celebrating the White Mass at the Cathedral, honoring those who selflessly and tirelessly serve in our hospitals and doctors' offices, the women and men in the healthcare profession who take such good care of us in times of our bodily suffering. Many of us have been the recipient of their wisdom and compassionate care, and hopefully we remain forever grateful for their giftedness to serve our communities in the countless ways they do. Our Lord and Master calls us to be a community of service. Our strength comes from following the footsteps of this Master, who has come to be served, but to serve. I'll close with a story, and you might be relieved this morning that it does not contain a big purse. A boy was consistently coming home late from school. There was no good reason for his tardiness, and no amount of discussion seemed to help. Finally, in desperation, the boy's father set him down and said, "The next time you come home late from school, you're going to be given bread and water for your supper and nothing else. Is that perfectly clear, son?" The boy looked straight into his father's eyes and nodded. He understood perfectly. A few days later, the boy came home even later than usual. That night, however, when they sat down together at the table, there was only a single slice of bread in his plate and a glass of water. His father's and mother's plates were full of food. The father waited for the full impact to sink in, then quietly took the boy's plate and placed it in front of himself. He took his own plate and put it in front of the boy. The boy understood what his father was doing. His father was taking upon himself the punishment that he, the boy, had brought upon himself by his own delinquent behavior. Years later, the boy recalled the incident and said, "All my life, I've known what God is like by what my father did that night. The Son of Man came to give his life to redeem many people." And isn't that just what we're called to do? To feed each other physically and spiritually. And if we're to be intentional disciples, we need to be selflessly intentional in our service to others. And what will we get out of it? We will be generously blessed by God.